If you want to, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 4. We're beginning this morning a study of finances. And what we're going to do, of course, is this is just the introduction. We're going to look at a lot of different things this morning. But when you think of finances, it really ought to be fun because we're thinking about money and saving, and it's interesting to most people, and the whole idea of borrowing and interest and all those kind of things. It's important that we as believers understand these things. In fact, it is vital that we as believers have an understanding of these important areas. Many times when you talk to people about money, finances, sometimes people get a little bit bothered because it's often personal. In fact, it feels too personal sometimes. People say, you don't tell what you give away, you don't tell any of that kind of stuff, and it's awful personal, and so you don't want to talk about it. However, it is vital that we understand some things. Number one, that we understand biblical truths concerning money, finances, and giving. That we understand that from the Bible. Number two, we realize that how we deal with the finances and our property and our possessions and materialism and all that thing affects all the areas of our lives. And the third thing is that for many people, many, even maybe in this room, I don't know everything personally, but for many, you may have money and finance problems. You may have, how do you deal with these kind of things? There are people in our church that are in debt and would like to be out of debt. There are people who are having financial problems with just the fact on how to deal with what they have. And then there's some, in a sense, who are on top of it. And what we want to do is just go and look, see the biblical view on the wise use of the things that God has given us. As God's children, we want to wisely use these things. We must be an example to others about how to manage the resources that God has given to us. This is an issue that's often overlooked because a lot of people don't want to talk about it. And you know, at our church, we just go through, especially Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we teach the books of the Bible. And so wherever we go through the Bible, if it happens to be dealing with money or finances, we deal with it. But in Sunday school and some things like that, every now and then we'll do the topics. And so this is one, an issue that has come up that people want to talk about, and so we want to do it. It's often overlooked, but the Word of God has a great deal to say about money and finances. And not only about that, but the attitude toward our money, our finances, and our resources. You may not realize this, but Jesus dealt with the issue of money and possessions more than any other subject that he talked about that we have recorded in the Gospels. So we're going to look, for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the whole issue from God's Word dealing with finances, money, possessions, attitude, those kind of things. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for this morning. Thank you for the privilege of letting us come together. And as I've said just about every Sunday, Lord, thank you for letting me have a part in this class, letting me get to be in this class, and letting me get to teach this class. Thank you, Lord, for those who come on a regular basis every Sunday, that we can be together, we can talk about different issues and topics and truths from your Word, and that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Lord, we ask you that as we think about finances and possessions and material things and all of that, that you will teach us, we'll understand it, and Lord, that as believers, that we'll accomplish the goals of being understanding what your Word has to say and then living wisely with the things that you have given to us and using them wisely. Lord, we ask you that you would teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, what I want to do is, since once again it's summer and a lot of the college students are gone, so with that idea, we have a smaller class, we can have more interaction if we want to, because a lot of times the bigger the class is, the less the interaction there is. So I have not got this planned exactly what each lesson is going to cover. I mean, I do have that, but with the questions and comments, if we have to stop in the middle of something and take it up there next week, that's okay. We want to go whatever, fast or slow as you want to go. So in the last few weeks, several people have come to me and they've mentioned that they were interested in studying finances and money and possessions and those kind of things. The Board of Elders also has requested that I put together a study. I did a study on finances. It's been about 6 years ago. And this is some of the things that we'll be talking about were also talked about in that study, but I'm added a good bit to it. We're going to see that this morning as when we look at our outline. It is important that we as believers understand these things. When finances come up, most of the time people think of money, just money. And when they think of money in a church situation, most people think that the church is asking for money. They did a survey, and I've told you this before, but how the world views the church, and there were two things that stood out. They said, they don't have any fun, and they want your money. So the unbelieving world oftentimes view Christians and the church, and they look at it as an organized thing, the church. They say, the church doesn't have any fun, and all they want is your money. That's what they think. Well, this study, of course, we're not asking for money. It's dealing with money, and it's dealing with handling our finances and our possessions. It is supposed to help each one of us to know God's Word in these areas, and then it's going to be as practical as we can make it. And I'm talking about very practical. We're going to look at some different things, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. As we start, let me just get the outline for our study. It's so long a study, it took two pages, front and back. Let's look at this thing. We're going to start off with the introduction. We're just going to talk about finances. What are we talking about? And then we're going to look at the issue, and I've given you a handout this morning that talks about six reasons why we want to study finances. Why do we deal with it? Then we'll look at the subject of stewardship, because in people's mind, when you say stewardship, they think about a giving program in a church. That's not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about the biblical meaning, and we're talking about our personal response. The third thing we'll do as we go through this, we will deal with biblical giving. We'll raise some misconceptions. We'll talk about giving basics, how it fits together, and then the biblical aspects of giving. We're going to see all that. Then we'll move to finances, and we're going to talk about some mistakes and problems. Mistakes people make when they deal with money and finances, problems that people have. And then we're going to look at a budget. And let me just say this to you. As we go through this, we're going to take some time to deal with some issues about people, if they're in financial trouble, what are some of the things you can do to get out of debt, get out of these kind of things? We're not going to be able to take, two or three lessons on that. But what we're also working on is if there's somebody in our church, if there's some people, and historically people have come to me in the past and said, we're in a lot of financial trouble. We got six credit cards and we owe this amount of money and we got this and this and this. And we've been able to help people, our church as a whole has, help people get on budgets and get things set up. So if, in any event, that there may be some problems that you're having, we're going to try to make some things available to help there as well. So we're going to talk about budgeting. Why make a budget? And the whole idea of long-range and short-range plans, organization of a budget and plan, and then the issue of a budget on spending and saving. Okay? Now, we're still going to keep going. If you've got your outline, you can flip it over. What we're going to talk about, now this is something that most people don't talk about, but the whole idea of buying and borrowing wisely. We're talking about buying. A lot of people talk about, borrowing. Well, we're going to talk about buying. We're going to talk about some principles in buying, because I think part of the problems that people make is they buy wrongly. They go into Walmart or something, and they see something, and they don't even think about whether this has ever been saved. They don't think about their budget. They don't think about where the money's going to come from. But they say, I guys got to have that lawnmower. And I want it. That's the lawnmower I was looking for. They didn't save for a lawnmower. They didn't plan for a lawnmower. They don't have it, but they'll borrow it or they'll figure it. And so people don't always know how to buy. And we're going to talk about borrowing. Is it right or wrong? We're going to talk about specific items like a car or a home or school loans, credit cards and credit and how all that fits in. I'm going to be honest with you. The most damaging thing for Christians is their use of their credit cards. Because of the use of the credit cards, most Christians don't give hardly anything away because they don't have anything to give because all they do is borrow. They borrow on the credit cards. We'll talk about that when we get to it. But you can see that it is a powerful, damaging thing in the body of Christ. There's nothing wrong with credit. I use a credit card all the time. We'll talk about it. Then we're going to look at marriage and family and some danger signs in families when we're talking about money. We're going to talk about some options. We're even going to talk about insurance. And I'm not going to talk to you about insurance, but I'm going to show you some different options and things that that you must do. We're going to talk about keeping records. And then we're going to look at a church finances because there's an issue there. Because you know churches that every year they come back and they say, by the grace of God, we're going to raise our budget 10% this year and trust God to provide it. Even though we didn't get near that in last year, we're going to trust God to do that. And that means every Sunday and every month we're going to come to you and tell you, we got to raise more money because we're not meeting our budget. Is that how we do it? We're going to talk about church finances, money giving and budget and those kind of things. And then finally, the last thing that we'll really deal with is the whole idea of riches and rich and materialism. And by the way, without raising your hand, how many of you in this room think you are rich? You'd say, well, yeah, without raising, yeah. Thanks, Bill. But the truth is, financially wise, almost every one of us in this room are wealthy people compared to the rest of the world. I mean, you want to look around in our society and you say, well, in America and in Stillwater, I'm not. But let me tell you, you take you anyplace else in the whole world and on the income you make, you are wealthy compared to everybody else in this world. So when we talk about rich and riches and materialism and contentment and all those kind of things, we'll be going through that. So there's a lot that we'll see. Let's just start with our introduction. First of all, we want to clarify what we're talking about. And we're not talking about investment, stock market, making money, mutual funds, leverage. We're not going to talk about that. We're talking about the average money that we got and the possessions and our houses and our cars and our lives. And how do we deal with that? Our goal is not in this particular class on how to accumulate wealth. It is how to use wisely what God has given to us. We want to help believers understand money, finances, possessions from God's word, and then wisely use what he's done. So often there's confusion. This has been about 8 or 9 years ago. A man came to see me, and he just walked into the church, and we didn't have a secretary in those days. He just walked in, and he said, hey, can I talk to you? And I said, yeah. He handed me this card. He says, I am a financial planner. I said, well, good. He said, you know, I'm here to help you and your church. I said, great. What about? He said, well, you know, here's the problem. Churches don't have enough money. Isn't that true? And before I could say, no, that's not true, he said, here's the reason why churches don't have enough money is because Christians don't make enough money. So what we got to do is figure out how we can make Christians make more money. And I said, no, no, no. The reason churches don't have enough money is not because Christians don't make enough money. They don't use their money wisely. Our God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The issue is not how much money. There's no money there. We want to be in control of what we have. Often people are controlled by their things and their money and their finances and their debts and their bills rather than being in control. So we want to look at our goal is the how and the why of using our money and our resources. We hear people say things like, yes, we're just not able to give. Well, let me tell you this. When people say that, they don't understand the following things. They don't understand finances. They don't understand giving. They don't understand saving. They don't understand spending. They don't understand that. They don't understand it from the Bible. They don't understand it from the practical aspects. Our goal is biblically is the how and the why, the use of money and resources, what the Bible says about giving, saving, spending, buying, all of those things. You saw in the outline that we're going to look at the giving and saving and budgets and planning and all those kind of things. Now, let's talk about why in the world are we going to study finances? I've got six things here, and let's just look at them as we go through this. If you have a question or a comment or anything, raise your hand. If it's something that you want to raise right now, and I might say to you, okay, we're going to look at that in a couple of weeks because we're going to be dealing with that, you know, we'll do that. But anytime you have a question or a comment, raise it because we want to talk about whatever you want to talk about as we go through this thing on finances. Why in the world would we as a church take the time to do this? Because you know that our emphasis is what? It's teaching the Bible. It's verse by verse, passage by passage almost all the time. But when we come to Sunday school, a lot of times we'll pick out topics, the ingredients of a successful church, those kind of things that we just did. Well, why study finances? The first one is that many want to know and they have an interest in it. There are people who come up and they say, you know, I understand, you know, you got these books by Larry Burkett, you got anything by Ron Blue, what, you know, I want to know this stuff. I want to know how to use money and what does God expect from me? So one of the reasons that we would study finances is there are a lot of people, some people actually want to know about it. Second is finance information is helpful in marriage. Let me tell you, by the grace of God, I get to do weddings. And whoever I marry, we do premarital counseling. I just never marry anybody unless I'm able to take them through premarital counseling. And part of our premarital counseling is making a budget and talking about how you're gonna live and how you're gonna make this budget and what are you gonna do with credit cards and what kind of debt do you have and all those kind of things. And I want you to know this, you know, I have seen the huge spectrum of young couples. I'm talking about people 20 to 22 to 23, 24 years old come in my office, and I've seen the spectrum of those couples who are about to be married in, say, 3 months, and they have no debt whatsoever, and they know how to handle their finances, to some who come into that office, and they're about to get married, and when you put it down together, they already are in debt $30,000, and they're not even married yet. So I've seen all the spectrums. It is great information. In fact, usually what will happen when we get through the premarital things and the budget and stuff, they'll say, this is really good. You know, this has really helped us as we get ready to get married. So I've had some people say, you know, we need to know that. So that's another reason. The third one is one of our goals is we're to teach the entire counsel of God. That's the entire Word of God. We're to know it and apply it, all the biblical truths. The Bible has a great deal to say about money, how we use it. In fact, a fourth of the New Testament, look at that, a fourth of the New Testament deals with the subject of money. A fourth. Jesus deals with the subject of money more than any other subject except one word, love. He talks about love more than he talks about money. Everything else is second to that. Our goal is to teach the Bible. If we take the time to make sure we understand how the Gospels fit together and understand spiritual gifts and study the Holy Spirit and study the end times, then it's also important that we understand what the Bible has to say about money and finances. The fourth thing. Finances are a spiritual indicator. They really are. How you and I deal with what we have is a good indication of how we are spiritually. In fact, whether we're growing or not, how we're doing spiritually. It shows a lot where you are in your spiritual growth. It's sort of sad to say that, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but if you're not doing very well in your finances, if you're not giving, if you're not saving, there's some problems. This is a spiritual indicator. Prof. Hendricks used to say this when I was down somewhere. He says, the best indicator of where you are spiritually is not going to Bible studies or your church attendance, but really how you are on your giving. That's what he would say. How you use what you have. It's a good indication there of priorities. Jesus Christ said you can't serve what? God and... Well, you can't serve them both. Two strong indicators that I've always told people to look at. It's two books. Your date book and your checkbook. What you do with your time and what you do with your money. That's two strong indicators of what's important in your life. The average family in the United States spends more on their pet food than they give to their church. Those dogs cost a lot to feed. Hugh Martin said it this way. He uses the term religion, but he was meaning religion as Christianity would say. Hugh Martin says, if a man's religion does not affect his life, then his religion is in vain. If what we believe does not carry over into our lifestyle, then it's almost useless in that sense. What we believe must affect the area of our lives. There's a fifth thing. Why would we study finances? To combat the unbiblical influence of our society. See, our culture pushes us the wrong way. Our culture teaches us that money and possessions, they're the most important things that you have. And the more you have, the more successful you are. The more you have, the better person you are. Our society pushes you to be a success in their eyes. And we talked last Sunday night on this whole idea of self-esteem and self-image. And the world says you got to either be handsome, smart, have money, have power, something, so that you can be powerful and be important. And so our world just tells you, listen, if you got money and you got things, and the more money and the more things you have, the more important you are. I read this story. I thought it was funny. It was a story of a man walking along a beach, and he found this bottle, and he rubbed it, and the genie came out, and he was granted one wish. And so he said in his greed, he said, what I want to know is what the stock market is going to be 1 year from now, so I can get all the right stocks between now and then, and I can become rich. And the genie said, okay, here's the newspaper 1 year from now with a stock report in it. He was so excited about all his knowledge until he turned to the last page, and in the obituary columns, his name was on it. So, our culture tells us, you deserve it. Our kids like Beanie Babies? Anybody in here like Beanie Babies? Anybody in here want to buy Beanie Babies? Last night, we turned on the television. You know the Beanie Babies that they're giving away at McDonald's when you get a Happy Meal? They were selling on this network. You said, yeah. Anybody got children? Yes, we know what they are. Did you know that they're selling on that channel that sells stuff? 10 Beanie Babies from McDonald's. What was the figure on that? I'm trying to remember. Was it $350? Okay. You bought them. You ordered it. We need to talk, okay? Listen, people are out there saying, I'll spend $350 for these Beanie Babies that you could go to McDonald's, get in line, and get it for free in a Happy Meal. For free? There ain't nothing for free in a Happy Meal, let me tell you. But, and I've bought a lot of Happy Meals. But our society says, that's valuable. That's so important. Ron Blue writes, many American families with income between $20,000 and $50,000 are struggling. They're struggling. Why? He says, here are a number of reasons. Number one, easy credit. They live beyond their income. Let me tell you this. Did you know that most people, and you may be one of them, do you know that most people spend more every month than they take in? That's just like our government. But on a personal level, most people in this country, if their income is $3,000 a month, they're spending $3,500 a month. If their income is $1,500 a month, they're spending $2,000. Most people in this country, and many of them are Christians, and many of you maybe even in this room, you are spending more every month than you take in. You're going in debt every month. And Larry Burkett says, why? Because easy credit. You can do it easily. All you have to do is have a credit card. And see, they don't call them borrowing cards, but that's what you do. You go put something on there for $300. The little bill comes and it says minimum payment due, $50. You say, I'll pay $50. You just borrowed $250 at 18% interest. And you say, no, I just put it on my credit card. No, you just borrowed. And you don't have that money, so you spent more money than you actually have. And you think you'll pay it off later. Second reason he says that people are struggling is that there's pressure to live at the level of their parents, especially young couples. They get married, and their parents have been together 35, 40 years, and they want the same house their parents have. They want the same possessions their parents have. They want everything it took their parents 35 or 40 years to accumulate. They want it right now. And so they struggle because they're going to go get it right now. And the third thing is that they got the wrong dreams. Because everybody thinks that the American dream is a home and cars and all of these possessions, and that's what makes life good. It doesn't make life good. Things break. You have to fix all these things you get. And then that's not good. And we live in a society that says, you got to have a big house. And then, see, what you got to do is you get this house, and then you get a bigger house. And then a little bit, few years later, you just keep moving up houses and using your equity and keep on borrowing money. And you borrow, even when you're 55 years old, you're borrowing $170,000 on a 30-year note. And they're looking at you saying, yeah, we're just assuming you'll live to 85. And they know you're not. But that's what our society says. And how many cars and what kind of cars. And people are not waiting till they can save the money to buy the things they want. I've told you this before, but in a little survey that went out to a huge number of people, they said, list things you can't live without. You know what, number one? This is amazing. Here's the top four. Number one was a television. Number two was a VCR. Number three was a phone answering machine. And number four was a microwave. You got to have those four things. Can't live without those. You remember when, did any of y'all grow up without a TV? I remember when we got our TV. I was 3 years old. We watched the test pattern. Have you ever seen a test pattern? Most of you. I was talking to somebody the other day about this, and they said, test pattern? We've always had cable. I can't remember not having cable. I can remember having one channel, and that was Howdy Doody. Howdy Doody and Pinky Lee. Who can remember those guys? Okay. Money will buy a bed but not sleep, books but not brains, food but not an appetite, a house but not a home, medicine but not health, amusements but not happiness, religion but not salvation, and a passport to almost everywhere but heaven. That's what money will do. We must live our lives based on God's word. There's a sixth thing, and that is that finances affect almost all the areas of our lives. I want you to think about this. How a person deals with his finances will shape almost all of the other areas. Let's start first with our relationships. We're talking about money management. It affects our marriages with the debt, pressure, making money, monthly payments, struggles to pay the bills, who's going to work or both going to work, how much do we need, how are we going to make it in regular home life, how you deal with your money affects a huge amount your family relationships with your wife, your children, everything. They say the problems of marriage are two big things, always stand out. It's either lack of communication or money. And I want to tell you this, in the 13 years here that I've been here, and when people come in and they say we just need to talk because we're having some little troubles, we're talking about married couples, it's almost always one of two things. Either there's no communication, or they got money problems, or both. Those two areas. The problems are deeper than that, but that's where they surface. They surface in the money, and they surface in the communication. So how you deal with your finances is going to affect your marriage. Second, it's going to affect your recreation, your free time. What you going to do? Where are you going to go? Are you going to go on a vacation? Are you going to borrow to go on a vacation? What about your activities? Will you be able to go on a vacation, borrow all that money, and then relax while you're on that vacation? Laying on the beach, this is costing me a lot of money, right? That's real fun. Third, it will affect your ministry. And that aspect of ministry is how you can give and how you can be used by God. Whether you get, when you give to a local church or to missions, sharing with others. We know this, that the average giving in the United States for all organizations, not talking about just Christian, but just all charitable giving in the United States, the average person gives 1.7%. 1.7%. The average Christian in the United States, and we're talking about people who say they're Christian, people who are connected with churches, they give 2.2% of their income. If you have been taught all of your life, or many of you may have been taught that you're supposed to tithe and give a tenth of your income, then people who are taught that, and the average people in the United States give 2.2, there's a lot of guilt in there. A lot of guilt. Because the average person is not going to give, or not giving a tenth. They're giving 2.2. How you deal with your money affects what you can give away. And you know, one of the sad things about it is there are people who would like to give because they know that there are needs, they know that there are things, but they can't do it. And they say they can't do it because all of their money is tied up into everything. I have people say to me, I'm having to go borrow again because I'm out of money. I still got another week for my paycheck, and we would like to give, but we can't give because we don't have anything to give. I want you to know that if you follow biblical principles, you will never be in that situation. You'll be able to give away as much as you want to. In fact, you'll be able to give away more than you could ever imagine, and you will never miss what you give away. If you have a heart to give, and you're not giving because you are tied up and you're saying to yourself, I'm just not able to. When we get through with this thing, I'm going to show you some principles and some very practical things that you will be able to get in control of finances so that you won't have to say, I'd like to give more, but I can't. You'll be able to give what you want to give. And it won't be because, oh man, I got all these debts I got to get rid of. Because you're not going to have these debts. You'll have a lot more freedom. Besides ministry, and that, thanks for bringing that, that's a great point. The last thing that it affects our future. Larry Burkett says this. Now, this is his statistic, and I have read this in three other different places by other men, and it's almost always the same, but it sounds so bad, I almost don't believe it, but here's what he says. 85% of the people, when they retire, have less than $250 saved. 85% of the people. But we see, we've been taught that you're supposed to work till you get to a certain age and then you quit. And who's supposed to take care of you? Who? The government. Yeah, he's our big brother, our daddy. He's Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam's supposed to take care of you. Don't depend on him. As Rush Limbaugh always says, don't depend on the government to take care of you. A lot of people have wrong thinking. Let me throw this thinking out. We will get to the stewardship part, I can tell, next time. But listen to this. People say, if I just had more money, then I could. That's what people think. How many of you, if I said to you, look, everybody's going to get $100 more a month right now. You say, well, if I just had a little bit more money, here's what I could do. Well, the issue is not the amount of money that we have, because there are very wealthy people who are in trouble. There are very poor people who would say poor who are not in trouble. I want you to understand that usually expenditures rise to meet our income. You get $100 more, you spend $100 more. That's just the way it is. That's what we do. We're going to look at Ecclesiastes as we go through this study. Ecclesiastes says the more you have, the more you spend. The real key is not how much you make, but what you do with what you make. Dan Benson says this, and I'm going to give you a bibliography in the next couple of weeks. It's going to have about 12 or 14 books dealing with finances, that every one of them are excellent. And if you can go get them and read them, and we're going to get them in our library. I've got them personally. Dan Benson says, more money is not the answer to my financial problems. It is what I do with my money that was going to make the difference. When we think about our local bodies and our families in the body, we need to understand and apply God's Word in this. Let me give you three things, because we've run out of time, and we'll open up for questions. But let me give you more next time, three things that money really is. Number one, it's a tool. It's not to be hoarded. It's not to be pursued. It is to be used. Money and possessions are things that are just, in a sense, they're to be channeled through. They're to be used by you. Number two, they're a test, because it tests us spiritually and also practically. What if somebody right now came up and said, $1,000, right there, $1,000. What would you do with that $1,000? Would your first thought be, I'm going to give away $200. I'm going to give away 20% of it, because this is $1,000. I didn't count on $1,000. This is $1,000. I'm going to give this away, and then I'm going to save this much, and then I'm going to use this other. What would you do if somebody suddenly right now walked in here and said, what would you do with it? Would you even consider giving any away of it? It's a test. The third thing that money is, it's a testimony. People know what you do with your stuff. They know if stuff is important to you. They know if money is important. They can tell by your life. People know that. That doesn't mean people know what you give or anything, but people know what you do with your stuff and how important it is. So as we start this morning, we are seeing some reasons on why we want to look at it. We're going to get into the whole idea of stewardship. That's the bottom part, and we'll get to that next time. You've got the big handout. I'm going to hand you out a bibliography that has a whole bunch of books on it that you can look at. But this is we're going to talk about a lot of stuff, and I'm going to get as practical as we can get, and I'll show you everything that I can find. And there have been some principles and truths that have been taught to me and that I've read, that I've studied, that make a huge difference. And I just want to say this. I want you to know that financially, I'm not coming. Let me be honest. I'm not coming to the end of the month and I don't have any money. And let me tell you this. When my insurance for my car comes due every 6 months, I don't go, where am I going to get that money? I've already saved that money. I'm going to tell you, there are things that you can do, regardless of whether you have a lot of money or a little money, that you can take control of your finances. I'm going to end with a quick story. I know time, but there was a couple in our church a long time ago. They were in financial trouble. They came to see me. They were young, still in college, had a baby. They said, we just don't know what we're going to do. We owe my aunt money, and I can't even pay her. I got this. What we did was we sat down and we found out what money he had. He had much more money than he thought coming in. Never had a budget. We set him up on a budget. By the time we got the budget set up, he was paying off his grandmother, and he was actually able to give away, and he was actually able to save and live off what he had. He just didn't know what he had coming in, and he didn't know what he was doing with it. You got to take control of your finances. As believers, we got to. It's been given to us by God. Okay, any questions or comments? Anything? I think, that's probably each individual person is going to have to make that decision. But, you know, if you hoarding is almost saying, I got to have all this because I don't know what's going to happen. And you got to realize that, yeah, you know what's going to happen. You got a God who's in control of everything. And there's a difference between saving, planning, and being wise with your finances, and then hoarding everything and maybe not giving anything away, maybe not using it wisely, but being all caught up into getting as much as you can get. The example used in the Bible is that guy who had all that stuff, and he had so many things. He said, I'm going to build more barns and more stuff. And the Lord said, you fool, tonight you're dying. And you spent all your time trying to get all this stuff saved up for nothing. So I think each person is going to have to make that distinction. Maybe we'll talk about it more. Maybe I can give you a better answer some other time. But it's just hard to say, how can you tell when it becomes hoarding and just saving? What else? Anything else? I answered that one so well. Let's go to another one. If you're not giving 30% to the church, I think it's hoarding. You know, that's just... Yeah. One more. It's exactly right. That is a great statement. I think that's the grace of God to realize we get to live. We get to live in this world. Some of us have jobs, some of us don't. I mean, we get to live. Thank the Lord for everything. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks for today, and may we have a great time as we look at these finances and be able to live for you using wisely what you have given to us. We ask this in Jesus' name.